From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you, be with all of you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from 1 Kings. After this son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing your son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 30 responsively. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cry out to you, and you restore me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. God's wrath is short, God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. While I felt secure, I said, "I shall never be disturbed." You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying, "What profit is there in my blood? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings, I will give you thanks forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Galatians. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me so that I might proclaim Him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stay with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Pastor Bringman used to always give a title to his sermon so that it could be printed in the bulletin. That never works for me. It doesn't work because, well, you know, I have a direction kind of determined early in the week, and then as the week goes on, I belong to a couple text studies, getting together with other pastors, talking about the scripture that that we're going to be preaching on that coming Sunday. And then on Thursday evening, when we have our fireside communion service here, some of you have participated in that service. I always listen and try to get some ideas also on the gospel that will be proclaimed on Sunday. So I don't ever want to set myself to this is the way I have to go. I feel too reined in through the week. But that being said, I think the title of this sermon is Funeral Interrupted. I've been to a lot of funerals. When I was a child, my grandfather had a second job working for the funeral home. He drove the hearse and assisted at the services. And whenever the funeral was at our local church, at our home church, I would go with my grandfather. I would go with my grandfather anywhere. And so even going to church was a good thing for me when I was, you know, 6, 7 years old. I loved going to, I didn't love going to funerals. I loved going with my grandfather. So I ended up going to a lot of funerals. And I've been doing full-time church work for over 40 years, and it's been a lot of funerals. And although sometimes unexpected things have happened, they've all ended in the same expected way. Interruptions, but still the same expected ending. We did have to wait at the cemetery once. Well, actually twice. First story, the funeral was over, and everyone got in their cars to drive to the cemetery. This particular time, we did not have a police escort as we usually did because the cemetery was about 30 miles away from where the church was. So everyone was going to go on their own. So everybody gets in their car and takes off. There was a college intern who was working at the cemetery or at the funeral home, and he was driving the hearse. And he said, "I don't know for sure where the cemetery is." And the funeral director said, "I'm driving the town car with the family, just follow me." We get to the cemetery and wait. About 2 hours, the shame-faced hearse driver arrives, and he said, "I followed the wrong town car." Well, we were a little surprised, but imagine the surprise of the people that he followed off of the interstate all the way to their home and pulled up in front of their house, this hearse following them all the way home. I think they were a bit more surprised than we. The second delay was at the cemetery was for Mr. Kelly's funeral. A gopher had fallen into the hole, and the grandchildren had seen it happen. Nothing could be done until that gopher was rescued. They had to move the casket, and the guy had to jump in. They got the gopher out. The thought of the grandpa's casket squishing that gopher was too much for those children. They just couldn't handle it. So it was a funeral delayed, but it ended in the same way that all funerals end, with the body being lowered into the ground. Today's readings tell us of two funerals interrupted. The first is the story from the book of Kings. And the story that I was telling the children about Camp and Marcy is that's the first part of the story that we got the second part in the gospel or in the first reading today. This is the death of the son of this widow of Zarephath. This story has all the makings of a tragic story. There's a terrible drought in the land, and all the people are suffering. This woman, a non-believing Gentile, has compassion on Elijah, the prophet of God, who was called to this land to tell the people, to call the people to repentance. And she shared with him her last bit of oil, her last bit of flour, and through a miracle, it never runs out. This miraculous food is a gift from God, and now it feeds both Elijah and the widow and her son. This poor widow who had shown such kindness to this prophet, and now her only son has died, opening the way again for God's compassion to be seen. The prophet Elijah interrupts the funeral planning, and the young boy is restored to his mother's arms. The other story of a funeral interrupted is that of the young man from Nain, the only son of a widowed mother. Now, the situation of a widow in ancient Middle East was an especially difficult one. In that day, men were not only the providers, but they were the protectors of the family. And under Jewish law, a widow would become the property and the responsibility of her husband's brother. But when there was no family to come to her aid, her future was bleak. Begging was the only source of income for a widow without her family to take care of her. But in this story, the widow has a son, so that son would be the protector and the provider for his mother. In him lay all her hopes for support in life. And then a second disaster happens. The son dies. Now, some families seem to have more than their share of tragedies. Many of us can go for decades without having any disasters, and other families seem to have one disaster after another. And whether we are disaster prone or not, life deals each of us our own share of sadness. Well, here's this woman, a large crowd with her, as they're headed to the cemetery on the outskirts of the city, right outside the city gates. Her son had died earlier that day, and now he is wrapped in burial cloths and was being carried on a woven stretcher to his place of burial. Now, honoring the dead was a very important act of compassion. And as the procession made its way through town, bystanders and town folk would join in on that procession as they walked out the city gates to the place of burial. But this funeral was interrupted. At the same time this crowd of people were walking out through the city gate, another crowd was coming in through that city gate. It was Jesus and his disciples and the crowd of people who were following him. They had gathered around him, eager to watch and to listen because of the remarkable things they had heard from him and that they had seen him doing. And these two groups meet on the road. The group of people following Jesus probably thought this was a little awkward. You know, they're all excited and listening to Jesus and, you know, kind of having that excitement when you're gathered around someone who's a celebrity, in a sense. And so there was all of this excitement as they're coming into this town. And then they meet this funeral procession coming out. Kind of an awkward situation. Maybe they should tone down their excitement a little bit and as they face this mournful crowd. And when Jesus sees this widow, he's moved with compassion for her. He says to her, "Do not weep." Now, he wasn't being insensitive and in this situation, but rather he's telling her that God's power was going to intervene and turn her weeping to joy. As we heard in the psalm that we prayed together, that in the morning, weeping turns to joy. Jesus was about to put those words of that psalm that he would have known by heart. And so would this woman. He's putting those words into life. Jesus went over and he put his hand on the stretcher where that dead boy was being carried, reaching out across the barriers of clean and unclean. Touching a dead body would have made Jesus unclean. He didn't care about that. Reaching out across the borders of clean and unclean, across the border of life and death, Jesus interrupts the funeral and tells that young man to live. The crowd of people, both the crowd of mourners and the crowd of people who were following Jesus, see this happen. They see this happen. They see the power of God's touch. And they were frightened. Frightened because they knew they were in the presence of God. God's power had been revealed. And those who witnessed it gave praise to God. And they told everyone what God had done. Did you notice something that was missing in the story of the funeral interrupted? There is not one word about faith. No one asks Jesus to bring this boy to life. No one comes to him with a tale about the good deeds that this boy had done, or how he was needed to take care of his mother. No one came to Jesus and told a story about good deeds that she had done in her life and how she deserved to have her son brought back to life. No one came. Like last week, we heard the story of the centurion who sends people to Jesus to tell him about, to bring him to heal his servant. And the people who go to Jesus list off the things that this centurion has done. And in fact, they even end the plea with, "He deserves to have this happen to him. He's worthy of this healing for his servant." No one does that. No one asks. No one tells a story of faith. It's not like the story where Peter goes and Dorcas has died and everyone standing around tells how wonderful she was and what a great person and all the good deeds that she did and all the fine fabric that she's made. Tells the story and Peter
through the glory of God, raises her back to life. We have many stories in the Bible where the miracle happens, the life is restored, the person is healed because they have been, there is pleading and there is faith. But maybe this story isn't about faith. Maybe it's not about gratitude. We don't hear anything afterwards about this woman and her son. Maybe this story is all about compassion, all about grace, pure, unadulterated, undiluted, unbidden, unasked for, poured out in fullness grace. This rising to new life didn't happen because of the mother's faith or because of the son's worthiness. It happened because Jesus had compassion for her. That's it. That's the only thing. The mother didn't have to act faithfully. The son didn't have to live gratefully. Could have been that they were both faithful and grateful, but that's not the point. The point of this story is Jesus' compassion. The point is that when grace comes into our lives, it requires nothing of us but a choice. The choice to receive it or not. God certainly does interrupt the deadly situations in our lives. God is moved with compassion by our disastrous lives, by our troubled days and our troubled nights. God cries when we cry. God feels our pain and knows our pain. And when God reaches out and touches us in our most painful moments, we are then graced to act with compassion for those we meet along the way. We are graced to interrupt the funeral processions of all sorts when we reach out with the compassion of Jesus and touch the many that we meet who are in need of compassion from us. In the 16th century, Teresa of Avila wrote a poem called Compassion for the World, and it carries as much truth today as it did in the 16th century. Compassion for the world. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the body, the eyes. You are his body. Amen.